Hello, my name is Faith Kilonzi.
I'm Rona Joy Kome.
I'm Diana Mungina.
And I am Miriam Wikali. And together we are
Global Tech Sailors.
This is a podcast where we explore the latest trends and technologies in the world of
cybersecurity,
data science,
software engineering,
DevOps,
and many more.
Welcome aboard.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Global Tech Sailors.
Mm-hmm.
You know it.
Yes.
What did you
yes.
say? Tech.
You know it.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So welcome and welcome back again to another episode of Global Tech Sailors. We are so excited to be doing this episode because it's been quite a run. We're almost done with season one, which is going to be basically 10 episodes. Now, this excited about it. We just want to use this opportunity to invite you to listen to us. And before maybe you proceed, we are available on all streaming platforms. We are available on Spotify and other YouTube. Please subscribe and follow us, and also across social media platforms. Yeah, I know I've gone on and on and on, but today I'm not alone. I'm with my co-host. My name is Faith Kilonzi, for those who don't know, but I'll be facilitating this conversation. And we are talking about the digital skill gap in the age of AI, especially with an African context in mind. Before we get there, my co-host, please, how are you guys doing?
We are doing okay.
Personally. Who is
we? Aren't you doing okay?
Speak for yourself.
No, aren't you doing okay?
I am not.
You're not?
Mm.
What is wrong?
Talk to us. Yourself.
This is a safe space.
Simply, is there anything that's worrying your heart? Mm. Is everything okay? Do you want the Pixel Fold
as a present?
As a present.
I would want that.
Mm-hmm.
Please that's surprise me, guys.
Okay. So, Diana, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
My life is at peace.
Mm-hmm.
I am happy.
Mm-hmm.
I am grateful for all the good and
of
the bad.
Miss gratitude.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, how are you doing, Joy?
I am doing very fine. As you can hear, I'm very enthusiastic. So happy. You guys, we got to 200 subscribers.
That's a, by the time they're seeing this video,
oh, it's
I'm
more
sure
actually.
It's actually like,
oh, good. That's a big one for me.
On YouTube.
I was there celebrating, running all. I'm happy.
You're happy?
I'm happy.
Okay, nice. Mwikali, how you doing?
Because
I said we and then I was told to speak
to
myself.
Don't worry. I think they're selfish.
Of course.
Forgive them. They don't know what
they're doing. Yeah, they don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I am okay.
Uh-huh.
I can say I am the best version of myself, but I'm getting there.
Oh, that's all that matters.
Mm.
The fact that you're getting there, Mitali.
The journey is what matters.
Mm-hmm.
Trust the process.
When in the process, trust me.
So since no one is asking me, so this is how I'm doing.
Oh, we are sorry. How are you doing, Faith?
Okay, so for me, I'm not so great. I think my health has been in the shits this past week, but I'm making progress. I've been procrastinating with a lot of school work, but we'll get there very soon.
Yeah.
Get well soon.
Thank you.
I think you're already well. Now that we are here, right?
Mm-hmm.
We bring health, joy.
You bring health.
And peace.
Peace.
Wow.
Everything, gratitude,
laughter. I don't know.
You
know, peace is something that
good vibes.
Can be associated with you guys.
Of course.
Maybe good vibes, but peace.
Peace is never
not
an option.
Of sarcasm.
Violence.
Well. So that's basically us. You can even hear that we do a lot of good vibes. So you can sit with us. I hope that one of these days that people can have more guests coming up. Please stay tuned to season 2 because we'll be bringing the best of the best in this industry, and
for
we'll have
sure.
insightful conversations
for
about
sure.
tech, and
yeah,
it will be so fun. I can't
so
wait.
So fun
and
big.
And
big.
Yes. Please get to know us now before we bring new people.
I wish you'd see the way Rona J is excited.
Yes. Yeah, you get to see me in season 2, yes, actually.
Yes, because we also do a lot of video content.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be nice. Yeah, before we digress so much.
And talk about ourselves all day.
I think this conversation, this conversation is guided by basically the way tech advancements are moving. Last week, okay, today is 12th of May 2023,
mm-hmm.
and 2 days ago we had the Google I/O 2023, where Google was giving us an update of what is new in the Google ecosystem and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And there was this joke on Twitter where people are talking about how every other update was about artificial intelligence. AI. Like, it was so funny. And people are like, if people kept asking questions about how AI is just basically shaping everything. It's in the Google fold. It's in the Pixel, whatever. It is, like, it's being applied in almost every other thing, so much so that you are wondering, are we getting to a point where we can't exist without AI?
Mm-hmm.
And forget about AI. If AI is still a question, then there are people who still don't have access to computers, to the internet.
Yeah.
How are we going to bridge that gap, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this conversation is basically about how best, like in Africa, are we best prepared for this revolution, and where are we at? And I just want to throw this question to the team. Do you think maybe our curriculum, what you learned in school, maybe based on your experience and also where you are at right now, do you think how you've been trained, your digital literacy was taken into account? And at what particular point do you think things are lacking, especially in Africa, Kenya in particular? Anyone wants to go first?
I can go.
Mm-hmm.
So with the digital literacy in Kenya, for me, it was there, but it's still not to that par. You mm-hmm. get it? So there is that basic, very basic computer skills, and I would say that's one out of, like, it's a very rare case for most of the schools. We are still so far away in terms of digital literacy and IT. We are so far away, because imagine if when I got introduced to let's just work with our higher institutions,
mm-hmm.
and their curriculum is still outdated. I did Pascal,
mm-hmm.
a very good example, guys. I what did Pascal. I did Pascal. Now you wonder, makes you wonder, and see the gap that is there, and that's the higher institution.
And you are doing computer science.
Yeah. Wow, wow. So makes you wonder.
How far we are. We have a
very long way to go.
And maybe before we get to the higher institutions, and I want to get to you, Diana. I think one of the things that we are concerned is, I know, at a very basic level, one of the statistics I was reading was that right now, only 5% of Africans get out of school having any digital skills.
5%?
5%.
5%!
And out of these 5%, only Kenya, South Africa, and Nigeria are leading. The rest of the continent, they are not, we don't know where they are at in this 5%.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine, how is our curriculum? Like, you can't help but ask, in your starting from maybe the basic, your basic school, primary school, high school, what is digital literacy something that was focused on, or how did you experience that?
I don't remember using technology in any part of my school life throughout. From class 1 to class 8, what? After class...
Did you go to a polling station? Okay, continue.
Where? Where? Okay.
The amount of shit that is in here, guys. The shit. Goodness.
But anyway, we need this later.
We match that.
Even in high school, even in high school, I don't think I used. I was not doing computer science, so
yes.
I was not using a computer. But at least at home, I would catch my, I would hold my mother's phone or my dad's phone. But my mom, I like, no, stop that! I will read your books. There was no that exposure of. This is technology, you should know these things. Even growing up, nobody ever talked about software engineering, technology, and all that stuff. I came to know about them after when I got to campus. Oh no, when I finished Form 4.
So now that transition from high school into university, that gap year, from high school to university, that gap year, that's when you got to know about it. Oh yeah, because I remember in episode one, and you talked about how you used to work in a cyber cafe and something. So please, if you've not checked that episode, make sure you check it out and get to know us.
We are interesting.
Why, I mean, based on what you said, why am I so tempted to ask Mwikali if Facebook was something that she would get banned from or something? You remember how Facebook came around and it was one of those social media platforms that people are getting to realize a bit about what technology is about.
Yeah.
But there were so many pastors preaching against it. There was a lot of objection about Facebook and how evil it was, and like there was a lot of pushback.
Yeah, fun fact, I refused to my cousin to sign me up on Facebook because I used to think it is
Illuminati.
Where?
This is how far we have. Sorry, I even say.
We thank the Lord.
We have come from far.
Tough time. Those were bad days in life.
But they never lasted.
She's
here now.
We thank God you become an exemplary tech leader and a very important voice in this space.
Yes.
I hope your story inspires someone.
Right now she'd be in Lamon or Malindi somewhere in those, you know what happened. Pastor, that pastor.
Yes.
But so, we're glad you were rescued from the shackles of, let us not say it.
and maybe now moving forward, I think one of the things that we need to talk about is this. When it comes to tech, and digital literacy, one of the things that is of major concern is that our curriculum is not well streamlined or is not well structured enough to cater for these things. For example, there's a curriculum that was introduced in Kenya recently, and was it's called CBC. And it's supposed to be more practical, but the kind of practice people are doing are not good. Maybe just for the fun of it, what is one thing that you've seen from the CBC curriculum that you feel, it's not futuristic, it doesn't teach kids how to prepare themselves for technically or non-technically?
I've actually seen memes. I don't know if you've seen these memes where children are dressing up as the groom and the bride. We'd have children preaching in crusades, and then you're wondering, will this be in line with Vision 2030? Because we do have Vision 2030 in Kenya, right?
Yeah.
And one of the key pillars is technology.
Actually one of the biggest.
So how is a child preaching in a crusade going to help him or her become a tech savvy come 2030?
It's so sad. And I think also something else that we also need to talk about in that context is you don't need to be a techie for you to have technical know-how. yeah. right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean when you say techie?
Like you don't need to pursue a career in technology, like become a software developer, become a cyber security analyst. Like you don't need to work in the information technology industry for you to be technically competent, right?
Yeah.
Right now, we are just talking about AI currently. And one of the things that is coming up is, right now, AI is being applied by medics. It's being applied in different spaces for different things, for different, like, even in law, in all these other careers.
Yeah.
But if someone lacks the digital skills, how are they going to navigate? Like, what are your thoughts about that, guys?
Before we actually move to that, I had a question.
Mm-hmm.
We say Kenya is among the 5% of this population that is kind of like technologically educated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have these other countries that are nowhere to be seen in Africa.
Yes. Yeah.
Now the question is, if our syllabus is not so good and we are among the 5%,
how
bad is it the other countries? How bad is
like
it?
Like Uganda.
Hey God.
Or Tanzania. Guys.
Here in Tanzania, they call him Kiswahili.
You can imagine writing Hello World. Now, what would that mean, Kiswahili?
Habari Dunia.
What would you say? System.out.println.
Not throwing shit.
That's
though.
Where we draw the line. We end it there.
I see the gap, right?
Yeah.
Is it a gap? It's so bad. Yeah. But you know, let me also, we shouldn't laugh at them. Do you know, recently
mm-hmm.
I saw on social media there's a university called Kabarak University.
Ah yes.
Oh,
Kabarak University that was in Kenya was hacked by a high school student somewhere in Pakistan.
And it was very wanting.
That was so funny. Yeah, the guy was actually telling them
you should pay $500.
Yeah, pay me.
And I will give you back your account.
And I will give you. Goodness, and that's a 14-year-old.
That's a 14-year-old.
Big school.
14 or 16? 14 or 16.
Yeah.
High school.
Exactly.
And
so if someone in high school can hack a whole institution's
system.
And here is the irony bit of it, I think, for me,
mm-hmm.
is that I think in their course, of which we are not only talking about the ironical bit for me, what mm-hmm. stands out, and it's not just for, of course, Kabarak, but I think it reflects all the universities.
Yes.
They actually, I think in their courses, they have a cyber security, you know, course there.
They produce IT people.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, I heard Kabarak pride themselves in computer science.
Exactly. So now it makes you wonder, okay, so
if a whole institution cannot
can be hacked by someone who is
in high school. Okay, what could you maybe you're now throwing it back to you guys, and I'm it's not banter, I'm not throwing shit. Mm-hmm. What could you, if at high school Diana had not typed shit on her computer, sorry. How can she?
She was still fearful of Facebook.
She couldn't even log into
Facebook. I should not have said that. I'm going to see fire this entire week.
So, you can see, there's a student in Pakistan who is hacking systems in Kenya for tertiary education.
Yeah.
And now there's someone else in Kenya, even in university, who can figure out how to resolve that?
How
someone
open.
Was not even,
oh,
who has not even seen a computer. And these are the same people that will be competing. And now with globalization, these are the same jobs we will all be competing with. You see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, where does that place us?
I think the biggest problem with our curriculum,
mm-hmm.
the CBC, you know, they borrowed it from the
Japan. Mm. Yeah. I hear.
Was it Japan?
Not Japan. I think
it was in Japan.
No, it wasn't Japan, but it was some outside country.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But then what they do is, mm-hmm. you start from when you're a child, you start building your skill. If you want to be a software engineer, you'll know how to code at 10
years. Like, there is a path specifically for that.
Yeah, but
here you combine with crusade.
There's science. In science, you cook, you carry a jiko to school and cook. Now, how will that help you become a software engineer in future? You see the whole difference. That is why you'll have a high school student.
You don't even know how to apply technology, whatever. Even if you pursue being a chef, you won't even know how to use electrical tech appliances.
You'll not know how to use microwaves.
Where?
Here's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think the CBC curriculum is good.
Yeah.
What we lack is the resources. Like, exactly. We don't have the machines. We don't have those. You see the way the internet, I think, is an issue also. Mm-hmm. So that's our biggest issue. The fact that we are
it was poorly planned.
It was
poor. We don't have the resources.
We don't even
For
have
example,
the resources to.
I think also on
bring,
that part.
Yeah.
There was an example that we had talked about previously, about how our recent government had said that it was going to provide computers and tablets to kids. But now,
and that
in
was
Kenya,
10 years ago.
That was 10 years ago.
Yeah. Over 10 years ago.
Which they are yet to deliver, you guys.
Yeah.
One of the issues with that was that, forget about the tablets. We don't even have electricity in most parts of the country.
Yeah, exactly.
We still don't
How
have
are we
it.
Going
How
to
are
power
we going
these
to...
machines?
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to get internet?
So even if you'd find a student is interested in computers and pursuing IT as a course, where would they start? Because I think if, let's say, for example, at a younger age, I was introduced to a computer, who knows?
Yeah.
I'd be interested in computers.
Exactly.
But then I got introduced to computers way later in life for me to realize that I am really interested in computers.
And yet, in another country somewhere, someone has grown up from one. Is it one or is it months?
Wow. Interacting with these things.
In China, guys.
Yeah.
Their children build, I don't know what, at three, four. Those are the ages that
they know what
they leverage on. Again, when we think of the children's minds, because they are very young, they are very curious, they are, you know, that's the time that you
that's
have
why
to
they are
get.
Building innovative stuff and you are here building a clone of Netflix. Anyway, I think also if you are building a clone of anything, I'm sorry, but
the shade.
The shade. I am building a clone of Netflix.
You are.
Wait. Are you? Run now. That was not personal. I'm sorry. But I understand. Okay.
We all start from somewhere.
And I hope you use that as a building block to come up with an original idea. Because you have the resources.
She's trusting the process.
Is the process trusting you?
The shade that is in here. The shade. Anyway.
This has to be one of the best episodes. But I think one of the things that I also want us to focus on is this. Do you guys like, it's not necessarily for you to, you don't necessarily need to be a programmer or a software engineer or whatever for you to know the basics of how to use a computer and how it can make your work easy. You should be able to apply technology in whatever field that you are in for you to be able to cater for those things. Right now, when you remember during COVID times, in some of the government institutions, there were government leaders or people in those institutions that could not open Zoom. They can't operate Zoom or a video meeting. Like, can you imagine the technical incompetence?
I can't fathom.
But it's there. Like, you still, like, we had so many people who we had to teach how to set up a video call. Because now, you guys are working from home. You have to use a computer.
I think I have a perfect example for that.
Yes.
the job Mungina was working.
Yes.
Where you'd help people connect machines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's, I feel like that's another, like,
No, topic. You should be able to do it.
Yeah.
If you've been exposed to a technology,
a computer a long time,
you should be able to know how to connect to Wi-Fi.
Just give me a moment, guys. I have a point. Okay. Okay. My point is the older generation, ignorance. Those people base. Ignorance. That's it.
Okay, what about a young person?
No, the young person is now, we go back to resources.
But then, I think for the ignorance part, it would also be paired up with, what's the term again? Fear? Is it fear?
Change, fear of change.
Yeah.
A lot of fear of change also.
And then also the backward thinking.
Yeah, lack of exposure as well.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is actually, yeah.
Hey, this problem is getting out of hand. But anyway, let's talk about solutions because I think we can't. We need to give hope, but it's very clear that from this conversation, it's very clear that we have, if we are not careful, in Kenya, in Africa, in general, in countries which do not prioritize technology or tech-based learning, people are going to lack. We are going to face a very huge skill gap because if a company is looking for an automotive operator, and that automotive operator, cars are becoming integrated with AI.
Exactly.
I think
if that person doesn't have any technical knowledge, how are they going to get hired?
No way.
It's going to be difficult.
If our schools are teaching the basics of theory, copy and pasting, this person is
higher
going to
institutions.
Higher institutions. Like, if we are not keeping up with what's going on, we are going to have, like, nobody is going to hire us.
Exactly. Right? And here's the thing, we're already behind.
We don't have industries that can still locally sustain us. So it's now.
I think it's now. If we were to start right now, probably we would
catch up
a bit.
Thank you. How do we start? Like, what do you think? What is one way that we can go about this? Like, how can we solve this problem? How do we prevent the skill gap that's impeding?
Okay. Instead of Rona starting, can I start?
Yes.
I've actually seen a good thing going on, where you'd find many tech companies want to make Kenya a technical hub, specifically Nairobi.
Yes. That has been a good thing. A lot.
Yeah, that has been happening a lot. If you look at these small organizations, edutech schools, where they're coming up with all these ways to train people in technological skills.
Yeah.
But then, instead of waiting until people are at a certain age, because I think these trainings go for people above 20, why don't we start with children from the grassroots? Like, why don't we take those trainings to students who are still in school? Let us grow them up in the culture that they can interact with machines, they can start building software. There is a good thing, actually. I think that's why she won CNN Personality of the Year, Nili Cheboi. The thing
Techlit Africa.
Africa,
those children are doing amazing stuff.
That amazing boy who builds websites, and I think when that child grows up, he will grow up with such technological skills. He'll be
a problem solving genius. Is about to
he'll be a step ahead. Exactly. If we were to do that in all these other counties, I think we'd be at a better place.
But now the issue is, Marianne, again brings back to the resources.
No, you
see, there are many resources, but they are wasted.
Exactly, they are not used.
They are not utilized.
I'll give a good example.
The government, right?
I'll give a good example.
Public policies.
When we were in primary school,
mm-hmm.
okay, not to brag, but I went to a private school.
Mm-hmm.
We had a computer lab, yes, in primary school.
Yeah.
But only a set number of people could access it.
Okay.
Meaning that this computer lab was underutilized.
Yeah.
People. Like, I remember we'd have, like, one computer lesson, I think it was per week or something.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you got to the computer lab, you'd go there to play games. I remember I used to go there to play cards on the computer. So if I was taught maybe how to use this computer better, maybe if these computer lessons were made frequent,
yes,
I'd have better interests.
But I still bring back. When I say resources, guys, mm-hmm. you are among the few who are able to get the privilege, actually, to have a computer.
Yeah.
Even though it's one a time a yes. week, you are, there was a computer.
Mm-hmm.
What about these people or places where there is no lights? Let's even start with electricity first.
Mm.
Electricity access,
mm.
no network internet access. Network access.
Yeah.
Now we get now we'll now get to the problem of the machines. But how do we or what happens there?
I think Nelly made it happen. I think with the help of
the key stakeholder, which is the
larger
government.
Yeah, government. The larger whatever stakeholder, which is definitely them, if they were to put much more effort.
For sure, for sure. And I think when it comes to, I can't help but go back to the Women International, the International Women's Day for this year, and it was talking about inequality.
Mm.
None of the things, lack of equity.
Mm-hmm.
Equity is being putting people on the same level or helping those that don't have access to something to
yeah.
be able to access it more than people who have, or just so that they can provide a level ground for people to compete fairly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that plays very well in this case is government and access to government amenities and resources.
Mm-hmm.
A kid in Nairobi is more likely to access a computer
yeah.
lab.
Yeah.
But so their problem, maybe their problem in Nairobi is maybe not being able to access it frequently enough.
Yeah, frequently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But now there's someone who is somewhere in Turkana struggling to find food.
Even
yeah.
water.
Even water.
Exactly.
They don't
and
even
tell me.
Maybe they've
mm-hmm.
never even seen a light bulb because
mm-hmm.
electricity is a story for another day. It's
mm-hmm.
a myth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so for such a person, you have more problems that beyond what the person in Nairobi is facing.
Yeah.
So that inequality is what creates the gap. That's why if we have to provide solutions, then the government has to start from the grassroots.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we have to actually, because now, okay, wow, that's a very good point, Faith,
mm-hmm.
because now makes me think, the child in Turkana.
Yeah.
Are you really going to tell me to start looking for a computer? Or are you going to tell me when I'm looking for food?
Mm-hmm.
For food.
Yeah.
So that ties it back to the problems of, we have to start from solving these problems of, I don't know if it's climatical changes or what do we call them, food issues.
Mm-hmm.
We have floods. We have a lot going on in Kenya because the moment those issues are, it's a ripple effect.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So
yes.
The moment they are there, they are going to translate to others and
mm-hmm.
others and others. So
as
yeah.
Faith said, providing like equity over equality,
mm-hmm.
we first empower the people who are in marginalized areas.
Correct.
Literally.
Correct.
By giving them the resources they first need before
mm-hmm.
even giving them a computer, because
the very basic needs.
You can't give a hungry person a computer and then tell them
for what?
They won't even know where to start.
Yeah.
They won't even focus in the first place. You can't tell a person who is looking for a place they're going to sleep at night because
mm-hmm.
their house was washed away by floods, and you give them a computer and you tell them literally at the
you
I'm going to
you
teach
go
you
go
how
go.
To
yeah
it won't even work.
It
so
won't
work.
Providing the basic resources first, empowering them first, putting them on a level ground
mm-hmm.
will actually make more sense.
Yeah,
as Faith said,
and that translates to Africa.
Yeah,
like,
in, general.
In general. Well, probably that's even why
like
we are so
if
behind.
If we had
that's
systems,
big...
if we had government systems that work,
mm-hmm.
this wouldn't be a problem because we'd have. But now, there's also, like, I feel like this thing is turning into some activism kind of thing. We didn't mean this episode to be an activism kind of an episode. But we can't help but recognize the issues that we are facing because.
Yeah.
We know for sure, our systems don't work. That's why we still have poor quality education.
Mm-hmm.
People are being taught things that that are not helpful. Our leaders are not even technical enough or even
yeah.
futuristic enough to think about how can we move the... Like, we have so many selfish people that someone is just worried about, am I making enough money? Who else can I appoint in my office for them to help me
please measure embezzle
more money
time.
And all that. So all these all these other, like, we have so many issues related to policies and government leadership that we have a long way to go.
Yeah.
Fine. Let's hold it there, guys. Now, I want us to talk about, right now, as a person, you don't work in tech. You are not a techie. But in one way or the other, you make use of technology in your day-to-day work. How do you think someone knows, for someone like that, how can they prepare towards this kind of skill gap that might come soon?
If you're not working in tech and you have to learn. I think you have to learn the tech skills.
Yeah.
First of all, don't be ignorant, because you can use tech in very many ways. You can use tech to learn a skill and upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
You can use tech to know how to upskill in your business. So maybe you're working on a thrift shop.
Mm-hmm.
You could see other thrift shops online and you're able to learn, this is what they do, this is how I can grow my business, this is what I can change in my business to
in the age be able of social media up. How can you leverage
you can use also social media to just advertise whatever you're selling, to brand yourself as a business and to grow the people that will turn out to be clients.
For sure. And now it has a lot to do with you taking the initiative to learn. And I like the fact that you provided an example that was very much common. Because right now, in the age of social media, people are making sales on TikTok, on Instagram.
And actually, these people are making a lot of money, guys.
A lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But not everyone, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone. Only the ones that know, okay, I need to understand there's something called an algorithm that means that if I post my goods like this, then they will create this kind of traction.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
That is something that maybe the school, even if we have all the resources in the country, the school might not teach you. It has to take a personal initiative for you to be curious enough to know, okay, this is a new platform. How can I learn to make sure that my business is more efficient?
Mm.
Do you guys have any other points with regards to how people can prepare towards the tech evolution?
Even joining communities. Online, there are many online communities that you can easily join just to see updates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some people who don't even know ChatGPT exists.
What?
At this moment.
They
are just, what is that? What is it used for?
Mm-hmm.
I don't need it in my life. It is not affecting me in any way. So I think joining those groups, Twitter is very good at updates. So
yes.
You can use it to just stay up to date with the latest technology and just know what can help you and what cannot help you. And even creating buddies with people like us.
For sure.
Make us your friends, guys.
Make us your friends. We are here to answer. And I've realized that people ask questions on these episodes. We are always ready to answer. So make sure that you send in your questions, so that in case you are curious about something, send us a voice note at the end of the episode, or send us a comment. Give us a rating on Spotify and any other streaming platform that you are on. So just so that we can engage with you and have more conversations. If you're applying technology and you come from an untechnical background, share your experience. It would be nice, yeah? Yeah. As we wind up.
Before you wind up,
yeah.
I also saw there are companies who bring in B2B training.
Yeah.
Where an employer seeks to train his or her staff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good move.
Yeah.
Not all employers are selfish. Others really want their staff to upskill and be good in what they do. And that's actually a very good initiative. I hear people call them, okay, I really don't want to be racist, but Wahindi. For nyam Hindi kazi, you know whatever goes on. But
for those who don't know, Wahindi is Indians, like the traditional working for an Indian.
Yeah. So
they wouldn't care about you.
At least I've seen companies are trying to train their workers, and that is a really good move.
Speaking of which, I've also seen companies that are invested in education institutions
mm-hmm.
to just be able, like, there are, I know companies that take in interns
mm-hmm.
from maybe various universities to train them on what they do
mm-hmm.
to make sure that they upskill them enough to be able to maybe have transferable skills into that company. Then maybe after they graduate, they absorb them into the company. And it got me thinking about, that's one way of training someone, because you are training them for an already available job, right?
Yeah.
So if, for example, you're in University of Nairobi
mm-hmm.
and a company like maybe General Electric calls you to go and intern with them,
mm-hmm.
you'll be able to learn the skills that they need in that company
mm-hmm.
for, so that kind of training. Like, I wish we had more companies participate, not just as part of training interns and that,
mm-hmm.
but companies that, I wish education institutions and companies could collaborate to tell them, these are the skills we want, so how can we make sure that the curriculum is updated? If a company is using Python, and
yeah.
your lecturer is teaching you Pascal, Rona.
Pascal to Kodi.
Pascal. How will you be absorbed in this company that needs Python? So, like, can you see there's
the
a lot
alignment.
Of disconnect?
Mm.
So, okay. Yeah.
So there's, we need to align academic institutions with corporate institutions
yeah.
for us to be able to know if these are the skills that are needed. Then our education institutions are producing the candidates that are
yeah.
available for the job. Because mm-hmm. you don't want a case where, my dear, 10 years from now, companies are looking for someone that we don't have
yeah.
or who doesn't have the correct skill set.
Yeah.
I think also providing, enabling students to be learners as you teach them.
Okay.
Don't spoon feed them, like,
the way we
it
were
should
saying.
Be
yes.
copy paste. This
mm-hmm.
is what you set in exam. This is what I bring.
Make
this
it
is what,
practical.
Yeah, make it more practical and teach them how to learn new stuff and enable them to stay curious. That is how people will learn to grow in tech.
For sure, for sure, for sure. And I think this discussion has been very eye-opening for personally. I feel like we've been able to dive into the problem. We've been able to find a few solutions. And I think it's a start to many conversations that we should be having, especially in Africa and African institutions. Please, this podcast is available for any kind of interviews that you guys might have for us to be able to talk about, for us to be able to advance this conversation for a wider audience and that kind of thing. Share this knowledge with someone, share this episode with someone, and let's continue this conversation to see how the different involved stakeholders can come together and help each other to achieve what we are trying to achieve.
Mm.
Any
yeah.
final words?
I do. I have final words. And my final words are, we are in the era of digital literacy, the digital era. There's no way you cannot afford to just close your eyes and just say, oh, and just, you cannot. So
mm-hmm.
please make sure you
don't be ignorant.
Yes, do not be ignorant. We accept that technology has its downsides, but we are leveraging on the advantages, which I think are more, and make sure you're learning. Just learn.
I think everyone that I know,
mm-hmm.
been, all the people that are close to me, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always advise them to at least advance in technology and
yes.
keep learning what is happening out there. So yeah, keep learning, get to know new stuff, get to know how you can leverage technology with
mm-hmm.
what you do in your day-to-day life. It's going to take you a long way in the future.
For sure. Mikali,
I think something I'd say is with the kind of jobs that are coming up, I think a quote that I would like to create is, digital literacy is wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Because looking at it from all aspects,
mm-hmm.
there is money, there is knowledge, there is power that comes with digital literacy.
Yeah.
So literally, digital literacy is wealth. So empower yourself as much as you can, grow
mm-hmm.
your skills, grow your talent, and let's meet in 2030.
You guys, Mukali dropped a quote. Did you see that?
Did you hear that?
Did you hear that?
Check the notes and please post it on your WhatsApp stages. Yeah, but that's thank you guys. Thank you for engaging with me. Thank you. Thank you for the insights that you shared in this topic. Mm. And thank you to our listeners for being here till this point. One thing I would say personally is we're in the age of digitization and most companies are adopting as more tech-related operational practices as possible. So stay woke and stay ready.
Woke.
Thank you and goodbye.
Bye-bye. Till next time. Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.